What is the unit on the x-axis for the MRCs?
You mean for the input?
The output of the MRCs, you know that it gives you several
Oh
points, x and
yeah.
y.
Should be cache size in number of blocks, right? Whatever blocks you use for the input.
Okay, because
What is the number of what is the blocks we use for the input?
I don't know. Where is the blocks for the traces that we have in SRC map?
I think you are working on 512 blocks or something, but I don't remember.
512 blocks. How can we find out for sure?
There is a description on the web page where you downloaded the traces that says whatever we call them.
That gives us 75 megabytes cache.
No, that doesn't make much sense either. But I think what Ricardo is saying is 512 byte blocks. Right, Ricardo?
Even if you can quickly check on the web page and see what is the and what are the colors.
You want to go to Scilab, right?
Yes. Then here.
Size in 512 bytes blocks.
Okay.
So the x-axis is in units of 512 bytes. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense because then we are getting for 8 workloads total cache size of
350 blocks.
150 blocks, which is
75 GB.
K. It's too small.
Yeah, no. No.
You know that the whole MRC gives you numbers in the order of 1,000 at most. If it's 1,000 blocks, that's less than a meg.
That should be that. I mean, that's wrong. Yeah. I mean,
Even the MRC, not the whole MRC, the MRC is in the same units.
Tell us what we can do to find out.
Well, I mean, first on the MRC code and the whole code, there's some constants that I'm using,
Okay.
right? For example, that's because I'm using arrays for many, many things in just allocating static memory. So there are many, many constants all over the place. So maybe that's limiting something. The other thing that you can use to find out quickly is use a I mean, manually create a trace for which you know the working set size and see what would you get, right?
I'm sorry, Ricardo, can you repeat what did you understand what he's saying?
No, I didn't.
Well, first, what is your idea of working set size? I mean, I guess you measure working set size as the number of different blocks touching in some period of time, right?
Yeah, so the knee point of the MRC.
Okay, so just use some dummy trace file just a sequence of accesses. I don't know, let's say a million accesses to different blocks, and you should get a million as a working set size after.
So you're reverse engineering, you're saying reverse engineer what's going on with your code. Can we look at your code? Where is it?
No. I'm saying just using a dummy trace file, just to confirm.
Yeah, but if we can look at your code, we'll know for sure what's going on, right?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, also.
Yeah, I think that is better.
Did you commit the code to the SVN or just...
Yeah, it's in YouTube.
The one that is in YouTube is not the same that you sent me.
Oh, no, no. I realized that and I just committed maybe yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
In utils, I don't have that. So, so utils address MRC, is that the one I should be looking at? Or?
No.
Yes.
Cache sim.
Cache sim. Okay, there are some directories which are too big.
Maybe you can check out only the cache thing. So you can use the same. Complete their cache sim. I think it's all together.
Okay. So here, what are we looking at? MRC.c?
No, inside test. It has a hot test.c. Which, by the way, Ricardo, that convex hull MRC, what replacement policy is using? LRU?
I think LRU is the default. Yeah.
Okay, how do we get this?
Another thing you could do is also. If on the whole program,
one question
before dumping the whole, you should also dump the MRC just to check if the problem is on the MRC generation of assets.
Maybe I think I might know what is the problem. You know that it says that the first parameter is size. What is that parameter?
Yeah.
I'm using 9 because that's the one that you had in the example.
Okay. No. I think that's that was just I was dumping me straight at that site. That's it.
Okay. So it's a point misread that you. So you construct the MRC and then you print the point raise point the miss rate at that and the cache size of S.
About X. Exactly,
yeah. I don't get it. What it says.
So after constructing the MRC, he prints the miss rate at S, at the value of S. I don't know why 9 is an interesting number there, but could be anything. Right?
No, it's just random. Yeah.
Okay, well, this is not telling me much, this code. LRU get MRC. Where is LRU get MRC?
Yeah, conclusion.
There's some header files. I think there is an include directory, or maybe they're just there.
Mm-hmm.
There should be something like nru.h or something like that. I think that there is a constant somewhere over there.
Okay. No, that is dot h. It's not even here. Somewhere else.
Oh, there it is.
MRC pages. There is a hash define MRC pages. That's some. Why is that so? That's so complicated expression. MRC pages, is that, does it, could that be the MRC block size?
The thing is that you could calculate MRC until the infinite, right? But I'm limiting that to some number, and I wanted to see what's the number.
Okay. Okay, so that's not the block size. How do we get the block size? Step, something called step, I have 32. MRC get string is the step here. Okay. So, Ricardo, the VMware guys are making you write comments, right?
Excuse me?
They are forcing you to write comments for your code?
Yeah, I have to, yeah.
Because I have no idea what you're doing here. Okay, well, I'm lost. I don't know how to find the block size for your MRC computation.
I can do what Ricardo told us to do, just to create a dummy file with sequential access, and we see how it's work inside.
But the LRU sequential will, access sequential will, be, access will LRU will give you a single point, right? Well, I guess even that's fine. Sequential access with LRU?
Mm-hmm.
What would be the MRC for sequential access? Just one block, right?
No. You have a flat line.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So you have a flat line until the size of whatever, until the number of accesses you touch.
Well, we can do double sequential access, and then if you had the whole cache size, then you will have less half misses for the second time. That's how we get the working size. Do two passes on the sequential access. For the second one, if your cache size is the size of the warlord, you will start hitting. If not, you will miss. So it should be a flat line and then a drop at the point where you hit the work size, because you have less misses.
So you're saying back to back two sequential accesses?
Yes.
Repeated?
Yes. If your cache size is the size of the world or of the working set, you will have hits. If not, you will have only misses.
Okay. Yeah, that's good enough. Okay, so what's the next thing we need to talk about? What is the other question you had? I guess you had the same question for computing the working set size from the MRC.
Yes, the same
and
thing.
Do you know that? Do you know how to do that now? Because we need some data for the motivation plot. that we where we provide the the working set size of each workload or the combined set of workloads across time.
Okay, for that I should just get the last point in the MRC, right?
Right. What we can do is we can have two lines, combined working set for host one and combined working set for host two over time. Right? And both should change over time.
And we want and to take take advantage when that crosses the boundary of the SSE size.
Yeah, and then we have a combined for all for both hosts. So both hosts combined working set should be somewhat flat, whereas the each host working set combined working set should be more variable.
It doesn't need to be flat. The combined
doesn't need to be flat, but it should be more less variable than the individual host working sets.
Why?
It has to be, right? Because when you let's say you take a system where you have n entities, right? And you look at the stability of the entire system. It's going to be better than a system with only some of the entities in it. Or at least if you break it up into parts, because what you're doing is you're averaging across more entities than fewer entities. So averaging across more entities should lead to some more stability. No, you're not sold on that.
No, because if all the workloads have the peak at the same time, then you will have the
peak
n times of the workload.
True, but I'm saying that the stability of the let's say the combined workload, it's not going to be worse than the stability of the individual workloads.
No.
Right. So you can only do equal or better when you average across more workloads in terms of stability.
Well, it could be worse, right?
If you have equal or
if
better.
You have all your workloads are underutilized at the same time, and all of your workloads are oversubscribed at the same time. When you combine it, then you have worse underutilization and worse oversubscription.
I don't know how to explain this. What I'm looking at is the variance, or the variance of a value relative to some average.
Okay.
So if you take an individual workload and a set of individual workloads, and then you combine all of them, the variance in that combination should be equal or lower than some workload with worst case, than any specific workload.
I think if you take the same workload and you put the same workload several times, then it should be the same, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, where did we start this discussion from?
From plotting the working set size of different hosts and together.
Yeah, let's say we take two hosts and we map some workloads to each host. We plot the combined working set of the workloads in one host over time. Then in the same graph, we plot the combined working set of the workloads in the second host over time, right, in the same plot. And then we plot the combined working set of all the hosts put together, right? And we could use that as a motivation to say, okay, well, the variability of working sets is, I don't know if we can create a new metric for explaining this better. But what I really want to say here is that the working sets sizes change significantly over time, and within a single host versus when compared to this change across both hosts. So if there is an oversubscription in one host, you can potentially use cache of the other host. And that's really what I want to say. But it would all depend on how these lines show up in the plot. If we have something like this, then it's an easy cell, right? If we have something like this, let's say. And it's perfect. So for that, what we would have to do is to, I mean, this requires sorting of some kind. But, so not necessarily be sorted. So it could be something like this, and you could have something else. Right? And then your combined workload will be something like this.
For the combined, you want to divide it between two?
No. Combined is a single line. Host one is one line, host two.
Yeah, what
I
was thinking is to move it, divide the y value between two. So
y value by two.
It gets at the same level of the order two.
We could, yeah. And in fact, the variability will be reduced if you divide by two. Yeah. But do you know how to get this graph now?
Well,
on the x-axis you have...
I think so. The idea is to get the
y-axis you have working set size, combined total. And this is host 1, this is host 2, and this is h2.
Okay, so what I need to get is just the working size of each workload and across time.
Yeah.
Those are four values across time, and then just do combinations with them to get the length.
Not four values.
Well, four values because it's four workloads. No hosts.
Oh, no,
I'm
no,
thinking
no.
of workload.
No, these are hosts. Each line is four workloads.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that each line will be the sum of two workloads.
I thought we had eight workloads, right? And which we mapped to two hosts.
No, we have four workloads.
Or we have four workloads.
Mapped to two hosts. I can get more workloads if we want, but I'm working with four right now.
That's fine. So four workloads. Then this is two workloads, this is two workloads, and this will be four.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the more workloads we add, the more stable this guy becomes.
Okay.
That's my my intuition.
Okay, so for the evaluation, you want that graph.
Hmm.
And from what I was working on, what? Because I got kind of lost on what is the graph that we want to
The original surface. Graph that we want to show with the storage latency, the average storage latency, right? When you have a global cache versus a local cache.
Okay, right now I have the average. Well, I can divide it by 4 to get average.
And we could also do miss rate there.
What I have right now is total miss count across time of all the workloads for hosts divided and hosts unified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that if we can get more workloads, I think that would be better. Even for not just for the data, but also for the robustness of our evaluation. Right. So if we have two hosts with four workloads each, that's much better than having two workloads each per host.
Yeah. The problem with having eight workloads is how to map. We just do random assignment or... I took four because I have only three combinations and I was just looking at that's why I sent you tree graph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the mapping question remains. I want a simple technique to come up with a mapping decision, like simple metric. Can we look at the full day working set sizes of all of these workloads and then map it so that the cache utilizations are balanced? So if you look at the full day MRC, and you get a working set for each of the workloads. Then
okay.
You, Then we map the workloads based on...
I take the unified global for all the workloads the whole day.
No.
And the values that I get in partition, I try to pack them in hosts where they use up the most that they can in the host, in the host SSD.
Yeah. Or alternatively, instead of doing the part, you know, if we want to make it even simpler, we just get the full day MRC, get the working set size, which you know how to do now, for each workload. And using the working set size, you split the workloads into two groups such that the sum of the working set sizes are balanced.
But that's worse than what I said. The solution is worse
because
the slopes are different.
What you're saying is requires more intelligence.
Which is what
requires partitioning and things like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But
try to balance just work size.
Working set sizes.
Okay.
Right, which is what would be done typically. The working sets will be monitored, you know approximate size of working sets, and then you will map the workloads to caches based on that information.
Okay. So now I need the granularity of our graphs. Where are we using? 1 day traces? Week traces?
Let's do 15 minutes.
Huh?
We'll use one, you know, we can use a long duration trace, like let's say something like 6 hours, but broken into 15 minute periods.
Okay, the 15 minute periods I got. Now,
how long?
How long? I send you the graph of 1 day.
You could do 1 day.
Okay, 1 day, and for all of them I use the same day.
Yeah.
Okay, so I pick just 1 day randomly from the traces and I work with that. So as it is right now, we need
this chart.
I have three graphs.
Hmm.
This chart from working set size,
mm-hmm.
one for miss rate count, average miss count,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know how to get the rate. I don't know how many accesses are.
Yeah.
I just know the counts. I can get average miss count or total miss count. That is the one that
rate
already
is have. Just count divided by duration of the trace. Rate is just the count divided by duration of the trace, which is the same for all the workloads.
It shouldn't be rate divided by... It should be the count divided by the count of real accesses.
No.
You are rating how many times you miss across the number of times that you did IO, right?
Yeah, but then you cannot compare workloads that way. When you need a common denominator of some kind so that you can compare workloads, workload values, right? Miss
okay.
rate of one workload against miss rate of other workload.
So you will be a time instead of...
Yeah, maybe Ricardo will have some suggestion here. Ricardo, do you have... are you still with us, by the way?
I wasn't paying attention. Could you repeat it?
That we have in the... In the convex hull MRCs and in the MRCs, the units that we're using in the y-axis is miss count. How can we translate
yes.
that to miss rate?
Okay, when you get the MRC, you can get the MRC in two units. One is count of misses, or the other is miss rate, but it's not exactly miss rate as a flow. Is miss rate as number of misses in 1,000.
In 1,000 what? 1,000 axes or time?
No. Imagine it's percentage, but instead of percentage, it's over 1,000.
Percentage of what though? Percentage of time or percentage of axes?
No. Okay. Miss rate is something over axes, right?
Number of axes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Move that to 100, you will have percentage. Move that to 1,000. I mean, accesses, right?
Yeah, I see. Okay.
You'll have what I'm done.
Okay. How can I change the...
Yes, I...
The convex hood so it gives me the other...
I'll be there in about 5 minutes. I'm wrapping up the meeting.
Take a look at, for instance... There are a lot of tests, right, in the test directory. One of the tests is dumping MRC on the unit I'm referring to. Just take a look at what is.
Okay, so I guess before that, do we want that or should we just use miscount?
I think we should just use miscount because, I mean, from the standpoint of the system, it doesn't matter what the individual miss rate is, but it just matters how much cache you're missing in a given period of time, and how many times you're missing in the cache. Because that's really what you want to optimize. Right? Sort of optimizing for global performance. Now, if we are optimizing for latency, then it's a different question altogether. So for latency, if we have storage, effective storage latency is miss rate times latency of access to cache to disk plus hit rate times latency of access to cache, then we need the miss rate as defined by Ricardo.
Yes. So I guess as it is right now, I can get easily that graph.
Mm.
The graph of the miss count, I sort of have it already.
Mm.
For the third graph, I need to change
the latency.
Miss count for miss rate, and I also need the latency values that we're going to use.
I think that Ricardo already sent.
He sent graphs. Okay?
Yeah.
But which value should I put?
Which OIO value should we use? Yeah, that's a good question. We don't have any OIO analysis of these traces. Ricardo, any suggestions for OIO? I mean, if these are block traces, the block parts should be able to do the OIO analysis for us.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No. I know that Luis spent some time doing that. He wrote some code to have an analysis of OIO given a block trace. I think he does. I'm not sure. You can ask him. But at least the last version that we knew of block trace and block parts and all that stuff, that doesn't give you all your analysis.
Yeah. I thought the block parts does that. But,
Well, you can quickly check.
Average outstanding, I thought it did that.
Well, in the format of the trace, it doesn't say anything about OIO at the moment of the entry.
And the block parse is just going to, I need something else. There's some other tool that actually analyzed the block trace to give. Well, maybe you can look at this.
Okay.
Because we also have block traces for each of those files, right?
Which is the input that I'm using.
You're using a block trace file. You're not using an ASCII file?
Well, I'm using an ASCII file.
Okay.
A block parse file.
Okay. Okay. Well, Lewis had this tool called BT Stats, which should still be available on his website, and it did a few things. If you can ping Lewis very quickly to see if there is an easy way to find the OIO, average OIO information, then we can use the OIO, the latency for.
But, I mean, maybe Blockpack does it, right? Just you should check that first.
Yeah, I thought it did, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, you should check it. Yeah.
Ricardo, the other thing is that the local disk number that you for OIO that you had, that is not a iSCSI disk, right?
No, it's just local SATA.
Local SATA
disk. Yeah.
If we have four disks instead of one, what do you think happens to the latency?
Latency would be the same. Throughput would be much better.
No, latency would be different, right? We have four disks, especially at higher OIOs.
But it would still be very bad, right?
Divide by four, won't it?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if it's easy for you to get that line as well. Now, some people might question if it's fair to look at compare a single disk latency versus a single SSD latency for making the case that we are trying to make.
Okay. I think we have some average somewhere.
Yeah, O4 I think has a multi-disk system. As long as you don't.
No, it didn't. I checked.
Okay. Something has a multi-disk system.
Well, the machine that we have for the cloud migration project.
For that, yeah.
Scarface.
Yeah, so that has a multi-disk system.
Right? Well, it had a RAID.
Of
where the images are.
Right. Okay, I gotta go actually.
Can I have access to that one and create a Scarface
okay.
disk there?
I'll send you.
It's not a good idea.
Yeah, as long as you don't write to that disk, I think we'll be fine.
Okay.
Because it has a file system on it. I don't know if you're.
Yeah, it has a file system with that. It has some VMs.
So I'll just export that file there and a file system as a disk. That's all I do.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right, Ricardo.
For the evaluation, we will have only those three graphs and that's it, right?
You can continue talking to Ricardo actually. If
no, I'll leave. We can continue offline.
Okay. So Ricardo, Daniel is going to send you the information for that additional line.
For our machine.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks.
Cool.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So seriously, right now, only those two graphics for evaluation.